Do you want us to keep producing the best VCU men's basketball podcast out there? If so, there's a way you can help. If you enjoy this show, please consider donating to help us pay for the cost of making it available. You can do so by using the PayPal link in the description of the podcast or on social media sites where we post it. Even a small donation would help. Thanks in advance, and go Rams! Welcome to Rams Rewind, a podcast that looks back at all of the action from VCU men's basketball. After each game, our host George Templeton talks live on Facebook with Ram fans and gives his take on the team's performance. And now, here's George.
It was a heck of a run for VCU, and it's been a pretty good season for VCU, all things considered, but this was a pretty rotten way to end what has been a pretty good season. Welcome to Rams Rewind, live here in the good and the bad and the ugly group for, unfortunately, the final time for this season. If you like what you hear and you want to help us out and choose some dinero even though the season is ending, there is a link in the description on PayPal, on Podbean, your other podcast platforms. If you donate, we will shout you out like our good friends James Fitzgerald and Kevin Sims, who sent us donations this week. James Fitzgerald and Kevin Sims, thank you very much indeed. And, you know, here's what I don't want to hear, and I'm sort of hearing it a little bit during the radio call. I don't want to hear they had so much travel. I don't want to hear, oh, the altitude, this and that and the other. The referees were this. I don't want to hear any of that. When you say that it was a nightmare matchup for us, Jason Coppinger, There's a lot of merit to that statement. But you can still do the right things or try to and give yourself a chance. And before you sit here and say, oh, it's just they just wasn't going to be able to do it, they got it from 18-2 to 23-20. So they were able to make Utah uncomfortable for a decent stretch of this game and cut a 16-point lead to 3. The problem was that was their one chance to get back in the game, and when they blew that, they were done, they were cooked, they were finished. Now, again, the reason I don't want to hear, oh, it's the altitude, or oh, they're tired from traveling, is that all the mistakes they made all year, they continued to make in this game. Useless double teams that didn't do anything but leave a guy wide open for a three or an easy dunk. You got that tonight. Quick trigger threes that were out of the context of the offense. You got that tonight. Our big guys giving away silly fouls, turnovers, bad turnovers, unforced turnovers. You got that tonight. You got all of that tonight. And my frustration is this. You know, dribble death, we got some of that tonight, too. We did get some of that tonight as well. And we got our butt whooped. And it's like, you know what you're going up against. You know you can't leave Madsen. You know you can't leave Carlson. You really can't leave Smith either. You do all of that. They all had big nights. Smith had a triple-double, which is infuriating. You got guys going for double teams that Stevie Wonder could see coming. And they're such a good passing team, and they pass out of it and get open looks. And that's how a team gets 21 assists on 28 made baskets. Beautiful offense from Utah. But did we really make it hard on them except for that one stretch? No, we didn't. And the other issue is, if you know you're tired, then you got to drive the basket. And you got to go in and challenge these centers. And you got to jump in and you've got to create contact. Maybe the ref will call it, maybe they won't, but you got to finish through contact, which is something they struggle with all year and something that absolutely killed them stone dead in this game. And something else. You got one guy who's a pure, who's a really a pure shooter, who's healthy, and his name is Fats Phillips, and he plays 15 minutes, and that was not enough. And Fats Phillips needed to be in there. He made his first two three-pointers in the first half, and when they had the one big run to get back in the game, he was the one who helped spark it. He did not play enough this year, and I'm not going to go into any further than that because that particular recrimination is going to be for the show I'm going to do sometime wrapping up this season. I hope you're wrong, Mike Urbanski. I hope you're wrong. I hope he's not transferring because he is a really good player, and somebody will be getting the kind of guy that if he gets going can score 30 in a game easy because he's that good a shooter. So I hope that's not the case. But put that aside. Put that aside because that's going to be a main major topic when we do the season wrap-up pod. Oh, but seriously, this defensive effort was cack. It was terrible. Utah missed some shots at the end, but they were 12 of 26 at one point from three, nearly 50%. And some of the efforts, honestly, Christian Furman, who nearly had a double-double tonight, but don't let anybody tell you he had a good game because you didn't watch him on the defensive end. Christian Furman, stay with your man. It doesn't get any worse than watching your guy get dunks. Or if you're switched out on a guy like you were switched out on Smith at the end of the half, watching him shoot a three right over you and it going in. That was brutal. That was terrible. Roosevelt Wheeler, learn how to set a screen because honestly, you should to get as many offensive fouls as he gets for moving screens, it's a joke. Set yourself in a spot, stand there and stay still, and when you've set the screen, then you move. Don't be moving as you're trying to set yourself. Honest to goodness, it's ludicrous. Stuff like that. But honestly, this game was lost because this team wasn't willing to challenge Carlson and Lovering inside and either force them, cause them to foul or put them in a situation where they had to move laterally. They didn't do it. It was infuriating. Max Schulga, and by the way, Max Schulga is hurt. And I don't know if he really should have been out there at all, because I'm not buying this that he's checked out, because that would be a terrible statement on him, because there's really no reason for that to be the case. He has got to be hurt, because that is some of the most passive basketball I've seen him play, and it's really been since the Massachusetts game. As Doug Hines pointed out when we were talking during the game, you know, he's averaged about 7 points since then. And it was one thing when he got 7 assists, which I think he did in the Villanova. It was either the Villanova game or the St. Joe's game. He got 7 assists. And when he was filling the stat sheet up. But tonight he wasn't doing that. And he's clearly injured. And if he's clearly injured, he shouldn't be out there. And he gets 25 minutes tonight. Granted, it's hard to pick out anybody who really deserved a lot of minutes because they all had issues. Bairstow ends up with 13. He had some nice shots and drives inside. Took 4 threes, missed them all. And that's the other thing. It's pretty clear at halftime that you're not making threes. You're 3 for 13 at halftime. So sometimes you got to quit shooting them and attack the rim. And they took 15 threes in the second half and made two. So they were actually, they were 3 for 11 at halftime. 2 for 15 from three. That is, that's not what you want. But yes, and that's the point too. 24 wins, multiple wins in a postseason tournament. And I mean NCAA or NIT or CBI, not the conference tournament, for just what? The fourth time in school history, because they had 2 wins in 88. Then they had, 4 or 5 wins to win the CBI in 2010. Then we had five wins to get to the Final Four in 2011, and now two wins this year. So that's a big tick for Ryan Odom in this group. It really is. And if I was at a solid B after the conference tournament, even with tonight, I'm a B-plus for the season. And that's not too bad. Yeah, we beat Duke 1 year, but we didn't win two games in the NCAA tournament that year, Doug. I'm talking about two wins in the tournament, whether it's CBI, NCAA, or NIT. So it's only four times that they've done that, that they've won two games in one of these tournaments. So that's where we have to place this run in context. This is a historic deal. To go on the road twice in the NIT and win is fantastic. So, again, I think it was a B after the conference tournament, and it's a C plus, and it's a B plus. And I can't drop the grade for tonight, Bruce, that far, because again, even with all the expectations, they didn't have Bamisil because of the ruling. Then they had him. They didn't have Bairstow because he broke his foot. Then they had him. Then he got hurt again. They didn't have Shulga because he got hurt. And then they had him again. Bradley Heath says a B-. That's fair. I think it's a little harsh because of the postseason efforts. And because you got to throw if you throw the conference tournament in, then it's been pretty good. But again, this team should have been in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's the other frustration is, you look at the rotations that we played the first two games in the NIT, and even tonight, and if we'd have played those kind of rotations against Duquesne, I think they'd have been in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's where our frustration is. And again, I promise you, we will delve deeper into that during the wrap-up pod that I'm planning. And that's the other thing. So the season is over now. And Darren Grimes says B- because of the losing the conference games, and that's fair. Again, I think anything below a B- I would take issue with. But B- is okay. B- is, I can live with that. Like I say, it's probably you're probably a little bit harshly judging it more than I am, because again, this team had difficulties. You know, with the injuries and the damn issue with the waiver and then the thing going away, so they had issues, and those are issues that were significant things to overcome. And you know, Larry Powell, that's a very good point. It's a very good comment, and it kind of points to what we're talking about. It says, all I want next year is consistency. Play hard and learn from your mistakes. Put an end to this on and off basketball and get better. Some of that is the constant change in who was available and who wasn't. It was hard for this team to establish that consistency for that very reason. But you are absolutely right. That is what we are looking for next year. And what's going to be Ryan Odom's challenge is, how much of this team can he keep on this roster? Where is he going to add? You know, we know Brandon Jennings is coming in from St. Christopher's. We're all excited about that. Who else? We've seen some guys in the portal that are interesting to us, and we've got thanks to our intrepid co-admin Todd St. Pierre, we have a portal combat post that is pinned on the Good, the Bad, the Ugly group, which includes VCU targets, which is another reason you should be part of the VCU Good and Bad and the Ugly group. Game threads, of course, excellent. And these live videos that I do after these games are a lot of fun, and we get great comments in them. But, you know, we keep our eyes on everything, on all our teams. You know, baseball, women's basketball, all our teams and what they do, soccer, all of that. But we keep our eye on what's going to happen with this portal, because it's going to be an interesting situation. Again, lots of really great players are in this portal, some of whom VCU's already reached out to, some of whom would very much fit with what VCU's looking for. And we will be across all of that. Also, when we start figuring, when we start seeing who these players are that are going to come in, the new player series. The new player series will, of course, come back. We didn't get to everybody last year because of a variety of issues with trying to contact certain people. And we are going to do our level best to do better this year on that. We may not have that many people coming in. We'll see. We know Brandon Jennings is for sure. And if my math is right, that leaves VCU with, I think, 3 or 4 open scholarships. Which, again, I think the portal might be that. I'm guessing we may sign another freshman. I don't know. But I'm guessing the portal will be a lot of that. And B is fine, Jason Coppinger. And look, anybody that downgrades because of the effort tonight, I can't say as I blame them, because apart from about an 8 or 9 minute stretch, it was pretty awful to watch this tonight. It was pretty dang terrible at times, especially when you knew who you had to deal with and you couldn't really stop any of them. You know, Bajima was kind of the only one they did a bit of a job on. But Smith was 6 for 11. Carlson was 7 of 13. Madsen was 6 of 13. And 12 of those were threes, and he was 6 for 12. So, you know, that's where you get mad again. And normally we have been the nearly men, Bruce Stevenson, but not here, because we weren't nearly anything except for that one brief moment in the first half. And honestly, something else. You guys, whoever's playing for VCU next year, you got to get over this getting hit at the rim and looking for a foul. And if you don't get it, you just don't make the shot. Not all contact's foul. And you guys got to learn how to finish through contact. Because it was beyond a joke all year how many baskets this team missed at the rim. And, you know, you can talk about Roosevelt Wheeler's 2 illegal screens taking away our momentum. But this thing started to go the wrong way when Zeb missed another shot at the rim, another layup that doesn't go in, and it went transition the other way into a shot that Smith made. And that went, instead of it being a 3-point game, it was a 7-point game. Then we don't score. Then Smith daggers us with that 3 at the buzzer at the end of the half. And our goose was cooked after that. It was all over after that. So, and I think a presence in the paint, I will say, Furman and the Wall are trending up. Even with today's performance, I'm saying that. Wheeler coming back, I don't know. I hope he does, because, again, he's local and there is talent there. He just has got to play with more sense. But Wheeler and the Wall are trending up. So while we do need a big thumper, whoever it is, somebody who's, I'll be honest, I would like somebody in the Venning Cohen mode, somebody that's killed us because they're a wide body and they can lay on our guys, because I'd like to see them do it to somebody else. I'd like to have somebody that could do that to somebody else. But we need somebody of that kind of size to help these guys. I don't think there's any question about that at all. And I think that's one of the things, I'm hoping that's one of the things Ryan Odom can find for us in the portal. Yeah, Furman needs to bulk up. The Wall needs to bulk up. Furman's got to work on catching these bounce passes and catching the ball cleanly, because he was terrible with that this year. The Wall was bad at the start and got better at that, to his credit. But even with all of these complaints about the two of them, their trend lines are up. They're turning into really, really good players, and there's no telling what their ceilings can be. So I look forward, if they're both back with us next year, and you have to say that, because absolutely anybody can enter the portal now and leave. You really look like what you really like the direction of travel with those two guys. And yes, Bruce Stevenson, that's the other thing. Yeah, and part of that with Furman and putting the ball below his waist is, Furman's got to be decisive. And when he's decisive, he is a much better player. Because when you're decisive, you're not going to do that. You're not going to put the ball below your waist. You're just going to go right up with it. And he's got to do that. Even at the risk of sometimes missing the right option with a pass or taking a bad shot and missing it or even getting a shot blocked, one or the other. So the plan is this. There will be a season wrap-up pod, hopefully fairly soon. That will depend on the person, on the schedule of the person I'm going to try and get. But it's going to happen. He owes me that. He knows he owes me that. We're going to have that. And then a lot of the recriminations from things in this season are going to be discussed there. And up to and including how Fats was used, because that's probably my biggest frustration of the night. Yes, Michael Bell's future is bright. He was, you know, it was a tough night for him. He seemed a little bit confounded by these seven-footers and was either unwilling to really go at them or unwilling to shoot over them. But, yeah, Michael Bell is going to be a real serious player. And, again, I just hope we can hang on to him. But a season wrap-up pod is going to happen. And then, as news warrants it, there may be videos. I don't know. There may be pods. I don't know. The new player series will come back, because I'm sure there will be more than just the one. And as I said before, we're going to endeavor to get all of them this year, because we didn't do it last year and that was frustrating. When the non-conference schedule comes out, you can expect the podcast then. When the conference schedule comes out, you can expect the podcast then. So those are the plans for the off season. And as ever, you know, if something pops up that's really amazing, like if the baseball team does something really fantastic, who knows, we might even dip our toe in the water on that. We'll see. They look pretty good this year, so they look like they might be a contender in the A-10. We'll see about that. So that's the plans for the offseason. All year, it has been great to do these pods in the Good and the Bad and the Ugly group live and get the comments. It's been great doing it out in podcast land and getting the response and the feedback that we've gotten from so many people. It's just been terrific. I love doing this. I enjoy doing this. My producer and I have a good time doing this, and I'm just glad that he convinced me to start doing it, and I'm glad that you folks like it and still like it. And, you know, it's going to be a long off season. It always is. It feels like October and November will never get here, and then it does. And believe me, I'm already scheming, and I'm already trying to figure out a way to get myself to Charleston for the Charleston Classic next year, where I will hope to see many of you down there the week before Thanksgiving, because I just, you know, I really want to do that. And I think I've got somebody that'll put me up for the whole week or for the, you know, whole 4 or 5 days that I'll be there. That's the plan. So, you know, that's something I'm already looking forward to. And I just want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody who has listened to this podcast, who has donated to it and kept helped us keep going as costs have gone up because of different things, who has responded on Twitter, on Facebook, who's had great questions, who's asked things, who's messaged me, you know, whether it's DMs on Twitter or doing it on Facebook. I appreciate everybody. I appreciate you all. And the rare times that we get criticism, hey, that's good too, because you know what? Opinions are there to be challenged, and that includes mine. And that's something that I've enjoyed doing this podcast as well. I don't know how the subjects that we talk about feel about it, because I think we've been pretty tough on them at times, but I'd like to think that we've been fair and praiseworthy when it's been warranted. But hey, it's been a great season. You know, getting to talk to the many different people I've gotten to talk to has been wonderful and interesting and sometimes thrilling. And I appreciate everybody who's appeared on this podcast all year. Rocco Miller, Robbie Robinson, Rodney Ashby, Matt Sheltonide, Ed Nixon, Beth O'Boyle, thank you for adding to this podcast and adding to the experience we all have, or the experience I've had by giving me some of your valuable time. And Ryan Odom too. What am I saying? How can I forget Ryan Odom? Thank you, Ryan Odom, for coming on after you got hired, because I really appreciated that as well. So Thank you to everyone for a wonderful season. And I know, and it seems long on the last weekend of March. It seems like a long wait, but we will get there, Lord willing, and we'll all be back here in late October and early November, getting ready and getting excited for another season, and we just can't wait for it. So thank you all very much. Until next time, I look forward to talking to you all again. Have a good night, everybody.
To submit a question for George to answer in an upcoming episode or to inquire about sponsorship opportunities for this podcast, please email ramsrewind@gmail.com. We'll be back after the next game, and thanks for listening to this episode of Rams Rewind.